Well, today, with great pomp and ceremony and great celebration, we remember this very important day in the life of the church we call All Saints' Day. Now, in the normal course of affairs, this day is celebrated in the calendar on November 1st. But this is such an important day for the church that the Book of Common Prayer allows us to move our celebration from the day appointed in the calendar to the Sunday nearest. And so here we are today celebrating All Saints' Day on a Sunday. It's such an important day that enumerated among the several days encouraged for the baptism, the celebration of Holy Baptism, this is one of them, along with the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, along with the Feast of Pentecost, and of course the Easter Vigil. So one out of four. This is one of the big days in the year of the church. And so we have all kinds of celebrating going on. Incense and great music, fancy vestments, everything to remind us of the importance of this day. And this day is important in part because of what the Apostle John speaks to us in today's epistle lesson from his first letter. Succinct and short and right to the point, beautiful words. For you are the children of God, for that indeed is what you are. And so when we celebrate All Saints, in some way, that's what we're celebrating. That all of us are children of God. Indeed, when we are baptized, at the end of the baptism, just before the child in particular is presented to the congregation, chrism, the sign, the physical sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit, the oil of gladness that comes to us and has a beautiful aroma attached to it, marks the head of the child. And these words follow. Be sealed with the Holy Spirit, for you are marked out as Christ's own. That happens to each and every one of us. So we, each and all, are marked out as Christ's own. And so in that wonderful vision that John, again, saw in the book of Revelation, where there are myriads of people around the throne of God, that is our destiny. That is our hope. And that is what we celebrate this day. Our identity as children of God and our hope and destiny to be in the glory and bask in the glory of God and to rejoice forever with Him in heaven. In fact, that brings us right back to an original thing that we learned in our catechism class, the very purpose for which we were created and born. To know and to love and to serve God in this world, and so to be happy with God forever in the next. A simple truth, but one that often is in the sort of quick and easy way that we rattle off catechism answers, we can forget the implications of all of that. And that's what the gospel lesson is about for us today. Because you see, as Jesus teaches his disciples at the very beginning of his ministry, we have to situate what's happening here. This is at the very beginning of his ministry, as it's told to us in the Gospel of Matthew. He starts to outline the things that can make us happy. The words we use in the translation are blessed. Blessed are they. But actually, the word really means happy. Happy are those who are meek, who are poor in spirit, who mourn. Now that sounds like an oxymoron. Happy are those who mourn. But in fact, we're not talking about happiness the way the world can give it, but rather the deep contentment that comes in our hearts when we realize our rightful place as members of the family of Christ, as children of God. There is a profound contentment that can come to us when we begin to realize that regardless of what the world wants to say about us, that God's purpose for us is to be happy. Again, not sort of in the sentimental happiness of the world, but in the deep contentment that can come in our hearts when we know that we are living a righteous life, when we know we are living with our lives, our minds and hearts in tune, in sync with the mind and the heart of God. That, after all, is what the definition of saintliness really is. It's coming to understand more deeply what God intends for us and how God wants us to live our lives, how God has shown us that life in Christ Jesus. And then as we learn and pray and work in our daily lives, that our hearts and minds become aligned with the mind and the heart of God. That's the source of true happiness. That's the source of deep contentment. And regardless of what the day-to-day problems of life may present us with, even so, the dangers and the difficulties of death, we begin to realize that it is that deep contentment that gets us through. When someone we love very much passes from our midst, often we are deeply broken. Often our spirits seem to be beyond repair. And yet in time, that healing comes. And once we finally deal with our grief, and we finally begin to understand this life, we begin to understand that our time in this world is by its very nature limited. Einstein had a great truth. He told us eventually that to understand that all time is relative. And for what is short for some is long for others. Think of even those people who are among us. Just this morning I was listening to a radio program on my way in at some ungodly early hour. And it said in there that the 80 is the new 60. Think of it. You know, when I was growing up, when you were 60, you were old. I'm 61. I'm not old by any stretch of the imagination. We begin to see that it's all in a frame of mind. It's all how we see our lives put together. And in fact, this speaker this morning was saying that it is in that frame of mind, and there was an experiment that had been done back in the late 70s, where they took a group of men who were in their 80s, which when 80 meant 80, and that they had them on retreat for a week, and they did this experiment where everything around them was made and designed to have them understand that they were only 60. And that in fact, the physical markers of their health improved in that short week. And so it is that as we, as baby boomers, go along and we refuse to grow old, that's kind of happening in our social life and in our culture. And maybe because of the advances in knowledge and medicine and so on, that actually is becoming possible. And so time is relative. It's all how you think about it. And after all, that's what Jesus is teaching us about the kingdom of God. That once you begin seeing your life and your participation in this life as part of the kingdom of God, you're no longer thinking in the terms of this world. You are thinking with the mind and the heart of Christ. You are thinking with the very mind and the heart of God. And God is eternal. God triumphs over sin and evil and death. And so it is that if we are marked out as Christ's own from the time we are tiny little babies and brought into the church, we are to be putting our minds and hearts in sync, in alignment with the mind and the heart of God. And that indeed, if we do that completely and successfully, we will end up living forever. That is the joy that God gives. That is the deep contentment that we can understand. That no matter what kind of pain comes our way, that it is a product of this world and in fact is not part of the kingdom of God. Now on this day, we celebrate those who have gone before us marked with the sign of faith. That's the phrase we often use, but that's what we're talking about, that marking that happened in our baptism. That we celebrate them knowing that they, though they have passed from our midst, they have now entered that time which knows no limit. It knows no beginning. It knows no end. There is only the eternal now as people are with God forever. And so we remember those who have died, gone before us marked with the sign of faith. But not only those we have known in our lives, but those through countless generations have gone before, from the ancient prophets to the present day and actually into the future. Those who line their hearts and minds, align their hearts and minds with the heart and mind of God, that they too now stand before the throne of God and see God face to face. And seeing God face to face can only rejoice, can only be joyful, and know utterly and completely that contentment we can only know as a shadow in this world. That's what St. Paul teaches us. The things of God that we know in this world, we know, as he says, through a glass darkly. We can only begin to understand ever so slightly what the life of God really is about. But even as we struggle to know ever more deeply the life of God in our own hearts and minds, we begin the momentum that carries us into the very heart of God himself. And so that someday we will be singing these songs. We won't be singing them, but others, a generation to follow and generations after, and they will be thinking of us as we form the great cloud of witnesses around the throne of God. Something we can see only in the shadow, even with our beautiful worship, with the heavenly music, with the great smell of incense and candles and beautiful vestments. These are but a shadow of what God has in store for us. And so I bid you on this day, this All Saints' Day, happiness, beatitude, blessings, because you are marked out as Christ's own. You are the children of God, as St. John says, for that is indeed what you truly are. So rejoice and be glad, for our reward is great in heaven.